From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of March 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, wheat industry leaders are in Washington this week to lobby Congress on behalf of their favorite crop. And the Commerce Department is reporting a strong monthly showing of businesses purchasing long-lasting goods. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you how much of the anhydrous supplied last fall might have been lost to the constant warm temperatures over the winter months. And as we close out our program, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast and whether temperatures will stay high enough, long enough to support a corn crop coming out of the ground right now. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Strategic Farm Marketing, Boulder Design, Stuart Peterson, and Pioneer Seeds. Thank you for your continued support.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished lower. The nearby contract and the May wheat down 9 cents at $6.30¾. July at $6.43½ for the harvest month. Down 9¼, the July hard red in Kansas City. Down 8¾ today at $6.79¾. From the corn pit back in Chicago, May futures, $6.20¼, down 10½ cents. July at $6.19½, down 11¼. September futures, $5.61¾, down 12¾. And December corn, $5.36¼, 14 cents lower. March contract of 2013 in the corn pit at $5.47½, down 13 cents. May soybean futures, $2¼ lower at $13.67½. July at $13.73, down 3¼. August soybeans, $13.64, 3½ lower. And September at $13.40½, down 5½. November beans, $13.20½, down 7¼. January at $13.19¼, down 8½ cents. And bean meal at $3.77.70, down, or rather up, $1.70 for the day. And bean oil at $54.60, 50 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the June at $120.50, $1.47½ lower. April feeders at $152.97½, down $1.05. And the May lean hogs at $93.22½, down $1.25 for the day. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $105.51 a barrel, $1.80 lower. Ethanol at $2.20⅞, down 4¢, or rather 4 pennies and 1/10 cents. And natural gas at $2.19¢, that's 1¢ and 7¢ lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.21⅛ lower. And the gold futures at $1,657.90 an ounce, down $26.90. The dollar at 79.1 is up 0.08. The CRB index at 311.49, that stands for Commodity Research Bureau, is down 3.94 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Yet sunny skies, a high of 73 degrees with the northwest wind at 15 to 18 miles an hour tonight, mostly clear. A low of 40 degrees with a north-northwest wind between 7 and 10. Thursday, sunny skies and 62. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms. A low of 49. A chance of precipitation about 60% in the area. Friday, more showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy. A high of 70 degrees. And Friday night, mostly cloudy. And a low of 45 on Saturday. Mostly sunny and 68. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 51. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 79 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 58. Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny and a high of 72 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy and a low of 46. And by the time we get to Tuesday of next week, mostly sunny skies, it'll be breezy with a high near 62 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You're listening. listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. As usual, Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line. Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd, on this gorgeous March 28th afternoon.
It is a beautiful March 28th day. I bet farmers are just anxious to get the planters out and rolling, but cautiously waiting. Is that
right?
Well,
there's a few going. And there's a few going, and a few are coming up and announcing, ready or not, April 1st, we're going to go. And, of course, we hear that, in the Mid-South and far South, it's going. One cash merchandiser said it's no longer a September contract for new crop corn. I'm thinking around the 4th of July, and we were laughing at that one. But the big factor is that the good weather, both here in the U.S. and somewhat around the world, is one reason I think that we're seeing a lower market here on the close today.
And we've had three bearish closes in the corn market. What do you think of that?
Well, it's an ouch. And, of course, the one problem is this concern about the stocks report. There's a group of people that do a lot of analysis of the situation and see that the government yield on wet ethanol plants versus dry ethanol plants, and the government's using their calculations on the wet, and the dry is more efficient, and therefore the yield per bushel means that we're actually using less corn than what some of the government reports indicate. We did hear before the opening and, kind of confirmed during the day that China did buy several cargoes of corn. The market opened a little higher, and I mean it was a get-me-out-at-any-price type of trade in the corn market. And between the outside markets, between the commodity funds loaded up, a commodity advisory deal saying if it closes under a certain level, get me out. But the official trend in corn, both old and new, is down. And, of course, that big, giant 95 million acres of new crop corn, had me scared last year, and it still has me scared now.
Do you want to be flat? Do you want to be even going into this?
Well, I want to still be short new crop corn. As far as old crop corn is, to me, I don't give my stamp of approval having a very big position on it. Seems like at this level we should be uncovering some demand, and the commodity funds obviously did a horrible job in getting long and their timing of their position, and now they're paying for it dearly.
Anything really happening in the bean market, or is it just
yes,
tagging?
The beans, there is this little bit of arithmetic that we're picking up, that there is a tremendous price advantage in the spring wheat area of planting soybeans instead of spring wheat. There is this feeling that instead of planting cotton in the South, there's going to be more soybeans. And even if you add a couple of million more acres of beans, gee whiz, that's 80 million bushels of beans. That's not a lot of extra beans in the mix, but it is having effect on it. The million-dollar question is, what's the government going to do with South American production? With the wonderful rainfall that Argentina has, I don't see how that crop's smaller, but the Argentine government says it is. And so we need some official estimate out of there and give the bean market more direction.
Lots of things will be coming on Friday morning of this week.
Yeah, and at the same time, the Indians are, the country India is talking about a record wheat crop. It is a little dry in Europe as far as the weather forecasts are concerned. My weather guy says there's a pattern change over there, but the market is void of cold temperatures in the U.S. To me, that means big super yields, and it also means an earlier harvest. And don't forget, those no-till drills will be following those wheat combines full throttle through the field.
You paint an awful good picture for production. I suspect that's not that great a picture for price in the future.
Well,
though.
We all are laughing and reading some of the farm magazines. Emerson says he's never seen any home runs with April planted corn or March planted corn in central Illinois. But, it is a real statement, and it's something we haven't seen before. And, maybe this is the home run year.
Could be the home run year. He's right. There's not been many home runs or any in March, but you never know what it might show up. We'll get Emerson on to talk about that a bit here in the near term, too, I think. What else are you looking at in the marketplace?
Well, you know, one of the other factors here, we are seeing profit-taking and, you know, the stock market, the crude oil market, gold and silver, and that, you know, that encouraged the corn, soybean, and wheat liquidation. The one commodity that still looks like it's pretty tight is the old crop soybeans. The expectations may be 20 million bushels less. But the commodity funds, you know, took a beating today across the board and in the stock market, and it was long liquidation.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, and always nice talking to you.
Hey, nice to talk to you, too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, remember, if you'd like to hear Paul again, or for that matter, most of our agricultural programming, you can find it on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. If you have a smartphone, try this one. There's no www in front of it. It's just m.willag.org. That M stands for mobile, of course. You can listen to all of our daily agricultural programming and our commodity program right there on your smartphone. If you use iTunes or a way to capture podcasts, you can do that on our website. A whole bunch of ways to listen to our radio programming, either live or after the fact. It's all part of the service that comes to you from WILL, including a great market newsletter that our Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, writes each and every week. And that one's free, too, over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe there at WILLAG.org. Speaking of Dave, he'll be here in just a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, leaders in the wheat industry are trying to prevent further cuts in federal research dollars for the crop. About 35 wheat growers, researchers, millers, and bakers are in Washington this week to lobby Congress about research investments in wheat. The White House budget proposal for USDA's Agricultural Research Service would reflect a 12% cut from 2010 levels, or about $148 million less. The demand for research funding is such that when USDA's National Institute for Food and Agriculture put out requests for competitive grants totaling $250 million, the agency received applications for $4 billion in proposals. Canada and Japan plan to begin talks aimed at bringing about a bilateral free trade agreement, a pact that could significantly boost Canada's exports to the world's third largest economy. Japan already is Canada's fourth largest export market, and a free trade deal could potentially increase that by as much as two-thirds. That, according to Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper. A joint FTA research project concluded earlier this month that the bilateral FTA could boost Japan's gross domestic product by between $4.4 and $4.9 billion and Canada's by as much as $3.8 to $9 billion. Illinois officials today announced the application period for the next round of biomass crop insurance assistance program project areas. Proposals will be accepted until April 23rd of this year. BCAP provides incentives to farmers and forest landowners to grow non-food crops to be processed into biofuels. BCAP was created in the 2008 Farm Bill. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. companies ordered more long-lasting goods last month, showing businesses are willing to buy equipment and machinery even after an investment tax credit was halved. Orders for durable goods rose 2.2% in February. That followed a steep drop in January when the full tax credit expired. Greater demand for machinery, computers, autos, and aircraft drove much of the increase. Orders for so-called core capital goods, a good measure of business investment plans, rose 1.2%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. This week's a big week. On Friday, USDA will release the latest acreage report and the stocks numbers. Our guest for Commodity Week, Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services. Commodity Week posted to our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock Friday evening. Well, up next, you know, the warm weather has farmers asking many questions about the coming corn crop. Chief among them, reports our soil fertility specialist here on campus, is how much of the nitrogen fertilizer applied last fall is left for the crop to use this spring. Farmers in the upper Midwest, think St. Louis and above, apply fertilizer in the fall to save precious time in the spring. These applications mostly stay put, but are prone to move off the land when temperatures are warm. Certainly, this past winter counts as warm, and producers are rightfully worried the primary food used to nourish a corn crop has not stayed put. And Fabian Fernandez says there are many variables involved, but makes this point. As long as the farmer used a nitrogen stabilizer at application, most of what was put on is likely still in place.
We've done some studies in the lab at constant temperatures to measure exactly that question, to know how much nitrogen is transformed to nitrate. And over a 3-month period of incubation at 39 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about the same temperature, average temperature that the soils had during the winter months here in Illinois this year, we found that if you use N-serve, only about 10% of the total nitrogen applied would be transformed to nitrate by now.
The study was done on a high organic drummer soil. Even after a warm winter, it showed 90% of the N had not been transformed into nitrate 3 months after application with N-serve. That's a nitrate inhibitor. 60% without it. Now, lower organic soils, like a Cisna, are a different story. With N-serve, 80% availability, not so good without it.
And then for the Cisna soil, the low organic matter soil, there was about 25% of the ammonium recovered. So 75% of the nitrogen was transformed to nitrate.
The study also showed greater amounts of nitrification and degradation of N-serve as the temperatures increased to 55 and 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The study clearly illustrated the soil temperatures and soil type can have important influences on the amount of nitrification and the longevity of N-serve to protect ammonium from nitrification.
Yes, that would be correct, because temperatures not only increase the transformation of ammonium to nitrate, it also increases the degradation of the N-serve. N-serve is a molecule that is also broken down by bacteria over time. And so with warmer temperatures, N-serve will have less efficiency, basically will be degraded quicker.
And here's what all of that information means. If a farmer used N-serve last fall, about 10 to 20% of the nitrogen application should still be available. So, no real need to supplement it prior to corn planting. The big concern is that the weather has been so warm all winter long that N-serve staying power is quickly running out. Fernandez says even if the weather stays dry, that's not a big deal, but should it turn wet? Well, therein lies the problem. As for anhydrous applications at this early stage, use the N-rate calculator online to figure out how much to apply, and a nitrogen inhibitor like N-serve at least through mid-April. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Hey, by the way, if you'd like to learn more from Fabian Fernandez or the rest of the crop scientists here on campus, you can always do that by looking up the bulletin online. That's their weekly during most of the growing season. Look at what's happening at the world of agriculture in the state of Illinois. Just search Google for University of Illinois, the bulletin. You can find more from Fabian Fernandez there.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Risk Management Commodities, Farm Credit Services, and Steel Star Metal Roofing and Siding. Thank you for your continued support.
It's Wednesday afternoon. This is the closing market report. Time to check the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Ben Stoller on the line today. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with your ethanol plant. Profit margins still acceptable there?
I would say they're acceptable, not great. cheaper corn helps.
Well, cheaper corn, yeah, it's gotten a lot cheaper the last 3 days, hasn't it?
Certainly has.
How's the basis been holding up in the dive?
You know, basis has been holding up well. We actually took our basis up here this week to 25 over, so basis is certainly firm.
Oh, so and what was it? So how much did you close?
Earlier it was 22, so just a 3 cent improvement here.
All right,
for March, April.
So you're still looking for corn to come into the plant?
Certainly are.
And I suspect that with the 3 day drop, you're not getting any new sales coming in.
Yeah, not a whole lot of new sales. There's certainly some producers that had little to none on the books for new crop. That is mostly getting a little concerned, so went ahead and pulled the trigger. But old crop, a lot of guys are down to gambling stocks, and certainly not sending a lot of movement with the drops we've been seeing this week.
Does the drop in the price at Chicago make sense to you or not make sense to you at this point for corn?
Well, it's certainly interesting. it seems like there's a lot of funds just getting positioned prior to the report. I think a lot of people are expecting a large corn acreage number on Friday, so it does make some sense to me, Todd.
And then tell me about the bean market in your area.
Bean market is fairly strong. Basis has been pretty quiet, but we have seen an uptick here recently. Option price, a few over for the processors, and so certainly seeing some movement here.
And are you making, you said you had made a few new crop corn purchases. How about for soybeans?
Certainly, we are. There's been a fair amount of interest. $13 cash was what a lot of guys were looking for, and we booked some of that earlier in the week.
And what are your bids for the day?
Bids for today: corn to Delphi, $6.31; corn to Climbers Ethanol Plant, $6.45; corn to Ibeck Ethanol Plant, $6.32; and beans to Delphi, $13.52.
Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Ben Stoller is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. They're located in Delphi, Indiana, and joined us here on the closing market report for Wednesday afternoon. For some of you, stay with us. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated about the weather forecast. For the rest of you, thank you for being with us for this Wednesday edition of the closing market report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's Something on a Stick Day. The day celebrates all foods on a stick, from popsicles and fudgesicles to corn dogs, shrimp, lollipops, skewers, shish kebabs, fondue, and many Chinese treats. And let's not forget all those treats at state and county fairs. Fish sticks, anyone? On this day in agricultural history in 1797, the first U.S. patent for a washing machine was issued. It was called a scrub board or washboard. The hand-cranked washing machine drum came more than a half century later in 1851. The first electric washing machine, the Thor, was introduced in 1908 by the Hurley Machine Company of Chicago, Illinois. It featured a galvanized tub. In 1832, Henry Rowe Schoolcraft discovered the source of the Mississippi River in a lake in northern Minnesota, which he named Lake Itasca. Of course, the Mississippi today is the lifeblood of grain export trade. And in 1897, Victor Mills was born. He was a chemical engineer who worked for Procter & Gamble. He improved Duncan Hines' cake mixes by passing ingredients through large milling drums designed to polish aluminum foil, but made the finished cake less lumpy. He also figured out a way to prevent the oil from separating in Jif peanut butter, and he figured a way to cut down the production time on soap bars from 7 days to just a couple of hours. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is with us. Drew, better take me through the Midwest. Farmers will be itching really soon if this keeps up to actually put a lot of corn in the ground. But we do have to worry at some point about a regular frost, not even an early frost or a freeze. What do you see over the next 2 weeks?
Well, I do see colder weather coming into the region. The first round of that will likely take place as we go into the weekend coming up, and really be more like the early part of next week when we start really feeling the effects of it. But as the cold air begins to debut, we're going to see some strong to severe thunderstorms develop. That will likely occur as early as Sunday from Missouri into Wisconsin, and then as the cold air advances, so will the storms. And we'll likely see the storms reach into Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky probably Sunday night into Monday. Right after that, we'll see the cold air settle into the region, and the cold at the moment is not associating itself with a surface high pressure system. And if we can keep such a thing out of the belt, we'll do okay with just some light frost and freezes during midweek next week. My concern is that we might develop a surface high that would bring more cold air down from the higher levels of the atmosphere. And so that's what we're watching for right now. I would say low temperatures during the middle part of next week will probably be in the 30s across most of the Midwest, but some 20s, upper 20s will likely occur as well without the high pressure system. If we get the high pressure system to develop, then we'll look for temperatures in the middle and upper 20s across the northern portions of the Midwest from Minnesota to Michigan, and probably some upper 20s and lower 30s in the Ohio River Valley. So a lot of questions still. And of course, a lot will still be changed probably between now and then. We're almost a full week away from the event, so there's still plenty of time for things to change.
And then tell me about moisture and soil levels and rainfall events and what you see that's of concern across our nation at this time.
Well, we're still watching the northern plains, the spring wheat areas in Montana, eastern Montana, the western two-thirds of the Dakotas, and northward into parts of neighboring Saskatchewan and Manitoba, Canada. Those areas are still quite dry. They keep getting missed by a lot of the storm systems that are coming and going. They will have an opportunity for some improvement as we move forward through this coming week. But we'll just need to continue to watch it. There's an 18-year cycle playing out right now that disfavors an abundance of precipitation for the northern plains and the upper portions of the Midwest, including the northwestern Corn Belt. Even though we're seeing precipitation in these areas, they will still be receiving some lighter than usual amounts, and that will need to be closely monitored as we move deeper into the planting season. Most of the eastern and lower parts of the Midwest, though, will probably have a very good environment for soil moisture, some well-timed precipitation events, and temperatures that will at least be become more seasonal, I guess, as we move into the heart of April. It will be cooler at times in early April. We'll turn warmer again later in the month. And then the other area to watch still is going to be in the southeast corner of the country, in parts of Georgia, Alabama, northern Florida. These areas have a tendency to turn drier than usual in the middle of spring in years in which La Nina abates from the atmosphere.
Thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us, Drew.
You bet. Have yourself a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.